Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Welcome to the Sarah Carter Show. The Sarah Carter Show, which is sponsored by my great friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow. Remember, you can go to MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com. And use the promo code Carter. That's C-A-R-T-E-R. Again, MyPillow.com, promo code Carter. Wow, has a lot happened in the last week. So much so that my head's spinning. I have a great guest on in a little while, Jenna Ellis. She is a constitutional lawyer. She represents the president on a number of issues. She is going to give you the inside scoop about what's happening. I mean, and now with the debate tonight, I got to tell you, I've got so much on my mind, and I just want to get it out. I just want to talk to someone. I want to talk to you. You know, all of you out there who are in the same boat I'm in, right? We're all in this together, really, literally. And I'm not talking about COVID. I'm not talking about COVID-19. I'm talking about the future of our country. We are all in this together because the future of our country will be determined on November 3rd. On November 3rd. I mean, folks, there's barely any time left. People got to get out there and vote. We got to get to the polling stations. We got to vote. We got to figure out what the future of this nation will be like. But if we sit at home, we're never going to know. We are going to give it away. We can't do that. We can't do that. What we need to do is do our duty as American citizens, stand up for what we believe in, and get out there and vote. And by the way, this is going to be the most important election in our lifetime. I say this over and over again because I truly believe it. Look at what's going on right now. I just can't even understand what's happened to the media. That's why I'm not the same journalist that I was before. Used to travel overseas, cover stories, remember going to Mexico, breaking the stories on the U.S.-Mexico border. I truly believe in this career, believe in this field, and believe that it's a part of making our nation free. It's part of a checks and balances. But what we've seen happen in the media over the last 4 years, ever since I started breaking stories on the Russia hoax scandal, remember that with John Solomon? I can't even believe that this was over 4 years ago, people. Over 4 years ago, because he wasn't even president yet. This was candidate Trump. This was candidate Trump. All of the evidence, everything that came out, and still the media, and I'm talking about the big players. I don't even know. I use mainstream media a lot. I know we all do because it's easy to kind of wrap our heads around it. But I'm talking about, you know, CBS, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl. Have you all seen this interview with President Trump yet? Don't wait for 60 Minutes. It's on his Facebook. He literally posted, like he promised, he was going to go after Leslie Stahl. He walked out of that interview at the end because he just felt like she was targeting him the whole interview. I mean, she was gaslighting. She was trying to gaslight him, not just the American people. He would say, well, you know, you got to watch this interview. He would say things like, you know, the worst crime that ever happened was what happened to me when they were spying on my campaign. She would turn around and say, nah, they didn't spy on your campaign. There's no evidence of that. What? Wait a minute. The inspector general, all the people at the FBI that have been fired, Congress, Republican Devin Nunes's investigation, the Senate's investigation. I can go on and on and on. They don't want you, the American people, to know the truth. They don't want you to know what they have done and what they have been doing to you and me all these years. It just became so obvious with President Trump because they needed to get him out. They needed you out. They wanted you out of the way. That's what today's show is all about. It's all about you. I'm telling you right now, this is what the show is about, and it's all about you. But before I go any further, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that I think is very important, and that's AMAC. You know, our country is at a crossroads, and there are people trying to tear down so many things that we hold dear. Tear down our history and our heritage. I talk about this all the time, from attacks on our founding fathers to attacks on the men and women in blue who defend our country. We're facing an assault on our most cherished freedoms, folks. That's why I've partnered with my friends at AMAC, who are standing up to defend our freedoms. Will you stand with AMAC, or will you let them stand alone to fight against the liberal socialist storm that's trying to blow down your country? I stand with AMAC, and I hope that you will too. I encourage you to join today at amac.us/Carter. Again, that's amac.us/Carter. The benefits of membership are great, but the cause is even greater. Join today at amac.us/Carter. So let's get back to business. Let's get back to business. I have something to play for you here. I want you to listen to it first, but and then we'll explain it in more detail. But this is Nancy Pelosi. She's getting super salty with a reporter who asks her about Hunter Biden.
These years, allegations of corruption involving Joe Biden have been raised in recent days.
I'm not answering your questions, okay? We're talking about the coronavirus. That's what I don't have all day for questions.
I don't have all day for questions. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to answer any of these questions. Adam Schiff doesn't want to answer any of these questions. By the way, former Vice President Joe Biden, the Democratic candidate, doesn't want to answer any of these questions about Hunter Biden or about his involvement in Hunter Biden's business dealings and his family's business dealings for that matter, or Devin Archer, or any of the people that are connected to the Bidens. But guess what? The media, for the most part, other than that one reporter, the media, for the most part, doesn't want to talk about Hunter Biden. NPR doesn't want to talk about Hunter Biden. 60 Minutes, Leslie Stahl, chose to tell President Trump over and over again that there's absolutely no evidence and she doesn't need to even question Joe Biden on the Hunter Biden allegations. She's not even going to hold them accountable. Nobody wants to talk about this. There is a hard drive. There are tons of emails on it. Of course, there's extenuating circumstances that are still being looked at. We do know that there was a grand jury impaneled. I have spoken to sources who have seen the pictures on this hard drive. I have some of those emails myself. I'm stunned. Remember all the things that Vice President Joe Biden said, well, I never knew anything about this. There was no investigation into Burisma. This is all a joke. Remember the quid pro quo? You know, I'm going to shake them down. I'm going to make them pay, or they better stop. Remember that? We're going to get rid of Shokin, the guy that was investigating Burisma in Ukraine. But he said it was all about the fact that Shokin was corrupt. That's what Vice President Joe Biden said. We'll have the clip up at sarahacarter.com. You can go there and look at it. But in one of these emails, which is really, really interesting, because it's from the Ukrainian executive, Vadim Parashinsky, and my sources say that this is a legit email, that this alleged email is exactly, now I have no reason not to believe it is, but Hunter and Devin posed a number of questions to the Ukrainians. What are the formal, if any, accusations being made against Burisma and or its holding companies? This is in 2014. What ultimately is their goal in attacking Burisma? Now, remember, Hunter Biden joins the board of Burisma. He can't speak Russian. He's never worked in the energy field, and he's being paid over $50,000 a month. Some people estimate $83,000 a month. This is coming from a guy who is, unfortunately, appears to be a real heavy addict to drugs and alcohol and has had a number of run-ins with issues with that. And I'm sure it's really tough on his family. But why do you think this company, Burisma Holdings, which already had allegations of corruption, would want Hunter Biden on their board. Why do you think? Yeah, exactly. I know you're thinking exactly what I'm thinking. He was there to protect them. He was there to be a wall. He was there to have, like, who in the world, right? You have the vice president's son sitting on your board of this foreign company that's connected to the Russians and the Ukrainians. Who the heck's going to go after that company? It's like going after the United States, right? The son of the vice president is sitting on the board and he's being paid. It's not like they're getting his advice for free. It's not like he's offering his services to bring Ukraine out of the dark ages. No, not at all. These emails are reflective of something far deeper, far more worrisome. And by the way, it's not just about Ukraine, but there's a load of emails dealing with China and the Chinese Communist Party and money and transactions, some of which allegedly also involved Vice President Joe Biden. Why won't the media look into this? Just look into it. Just find out if the hard drive is really his. I mean, it's all out there. Why doesn't Hunter Biden come out and Joe Biden come out and say, absolutely not. That's a bald-faced lie. That is not my hard drive. I'm going to prove it to you. I want Giuliani. I'm going to take him to court. I'm going to have him arrested. I'm going to jail him for false allegations, whatever. What, if it wasn't you, wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you do that? If somebody came out with a hard drive of all, and it was all lies, everything was lies, wouldn't you do that? Call him out on it publicly? But there are pictures in there too. And by the way, videos. And I've spoken to sources who have seen those videos and who have seen those pictures, a lot of which are nude pictures of allegedly of Hunter Biden. I have not seen them. I have not seen them. I only saw one of the photos, but it was not a lewd photo at all. Something to do with M&Ms. Hunter Biden apparently really liked M&Ms. There were a lot of pictures with that, according to my sources, and a lot of videos. And apparently Hunter Biden can be seen setting up his camera to take some of these videos, allegedly himself, in these sexcapades that he had with people. And not only that, allegedly, according to the person that I spoke with that I do trust, he was using what appeared to be drugs. So I ask you this question. If this was Don Jr., what do you think the MSM, what do you think the mainstream media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and all of their friends, Hillary Clinton and everyone else, because these are their friends, right? This is who they want. What do you think they would do with all of those pictures? If this was Don Jr., Eric, or Ivanka? God, I'm so sorry. I even put them in that category of what Hunter Biden did, because they would never do that. I don't think. What do you think they would do? Those pictures and everything would be everywhere. They would be on the front cover of the New York Times. You know that. I know that. For crying out loud, they put a false story about the president of the United States. They literally spread Russian disinformation. Do you know how they're talking about right now? Oh, goodness. This could be Russian disinformation. You know, Hunter Biden's sexcapades on tape is Russian disinformation. They have the hard drive, folks. But remember, it was the media, the MSM, that was willing to go out and on a whim, even when they didn't want to, with this crazy, stupid Christopher Steele dossier that, by the way, didn't make any sense at all, because basically the dossier itself, right, was, had stuff in it that was patently false, like the consulate in Miami and things like that. I mean, it was just a bunch of stuff in there that didn't make sense. But this dossier, who we now know the prime subsource of this dossier was a suspected Russian intelligence officer. And by the way, Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid for it. All of the media went out and published all these stories about the dossier. CNN was salivating at the mouth. Jake Tapper, who got his information allegedly from James Clapper so that he could spread the lies all over CNN in January 2017, after Comey, an FBI director, on the advice of Clapper, briefed President Trump on the most salacious parts of that dossier, where President Trump inside Trump Tower said, that is a lie. I never did that. I never was in some hotel room with prostitutes peeing all over a bed, you know, that that Obama and his wife had slept in. What is that? First of all, he's kind of a germaphobe. He's very clean. President Trump is extraordinarily clean. He would never do that. If you knew his personality, he would never do that. So here, all these accredited news agencies, some who won Pulitzers, by the way, for stories that were patently false, total lies. They won a Pulitzer for them. You had no problem smearing the president of the United States, by the way, smearing you. And you'll understand this as we continue this podcast. I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss my interview with Jenna Ellis. She is, I mean, phenomenal, lays it out. It's like girl talk, right? You're going to hear inside scoops and all kinds of stuff, but you're also going to be educated and you're going to learn about what's happening here at the DC swamp without even getting dirty. You don't have to get dirty. Guess what? Because Jenna and I will do it for you. We are like scrubbing ourselves as we walk in from out there, from the swampland, right? Especially now in Washington, D.C., where people are actually losing their minds and they're trying to take down what they perceive as their enemies on the left and on the right all the time. But we have an issue here. We have an issue where possibly on November 3rd, I don't believe it. I think President Trump is going to win this election. I think the American people are going to vote for him like they did in 2016. They're going to get off the couch. We are going to get off the couch. We are going to go out there and vote and do our thing. I think the American people are going to do that. I know you believe that too. At least I hope you believe that. At least I hope you're all a part of that. Regardless of who you vote for, you got to get out there and vote, right? Because this is our duty. This is what our country stands for, a peaceful transition of power. And I'm praying for peace. And I'm praying for a peaceful transition of power. I want to play one more clip before I go to Jenna. And this is actually President Trump. And I think this is such an important clip. This is where he is talking about, and this is, once again, I'm talking about not just the mainstream media, which is trying to silence and keep you from understanding what's really happening, but it's also our big tech out of Silicon Valley, the tech giants, right? Twitter, Facebook, all of these platforms where we were supposed to have free speech, but where somewhere along the line, they decided that they know what's best for us and what we should talk about. And now they're acting like publishers, and we are going to take away all of their rights if we can, because they should not be able to act like publishers. That means that they don't get sued, but they can tell us what to write. And they're biased, by the way, and they don't get sued. No, take away Section 30 from them. Let's see what happens after that. I want to play this clip. This is President Trump talking on big tech.
So we just sued Google yesterday, the government, in a big, big deal. And nobody's ever seen it like they have over the last week, because we have a situation where they're trying to protect, whether you call them or not call them a corrupt family, the whole Biden thing where they wouldn't put it on.
Yeah.
It's one thing as to guilty, not guilty. Okay. But they won't let it go on because they want to. That's their narrative, because they do better with them, which should tell you, you should vote for me. I mean, you understand that. They want that, and they wouldn't put it on. Nobody's ever seen anything like it, because it's the exact opposite of freedom of the press.
Right. Exact opposite of freedom of the press. They bamboozled us. They lied to you. They lied to you. They told you, oh, we're creating these platforms so that you can all get on there and talk and share ideas. Of course, no criminal behavior, but talk, share ideas, and we're not going to censor you. These are open platforms. They lied to you. They lied. Because all they've been doing is censoring. And by the way, they say they're doing this because they want to protect the elections. Who does that sound like to you? Sounds like Vladimir Putin to me, right?
I don't let you speak freely because I tried to protect the election, huh? You cannot talk about me because it's all lies, you know?
What is this? What country do we live in? Right? Did I wake up one morning in some altar verse? I mean, I know you all got to be feeling this. I feel this every day. But before I get to our next guest, there's one thing I want to share with you, and it's about home security. And I know we live in a time where we're all worried, where we're concerned, and especially, you know, with the upcoming election and with all the riots and everything we've seen in our urban communities. Most of us feel like we don't know what to do. How can we get a security system? We're afraid that we're going to get trapped into high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. So while there's a lot of other options out there, there's only one no-brainer, guys, and it's SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe. You don't have to worry about a thing. You don't have contracts. You don't have people breathing down your neck. You can do it all yourselves. I mean, you can just set it up. It's that simple. You can hook it up to your windows, to your doors, and you will be safe. I guarantee you, you can set this up in just 1 hour. You just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you need them. I've tried this myself. It's amazing. No technician required, and there's no contract. There's no pushy sales, guys. There's no hidden fees, no fine print, and all of this starts at $15 a month. And I'm not the only one that thinks SimpliSafe is great. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security system for 2020. Think about that. Try it. It's SimpliSafe. Try it today at simplisafe.com/Carter. That's C-A-R-T-E-R. Remember to put my name in because it's a special deal with the Sarah Carter Show. So it's simplisafe.com/Carter. You get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. There's nothing to lose. That's simplisafe.com/Carter. So without any further delay, I'm going to go straight to Jenna Ellis. She's a constitutional law lawyer who serves as President Donald Trump's senior legal advisor and is one of his counsels. I got to tell you, I'm going to ask her everything. I want to talk to Jenna about the debate tonight with President Trump. What's her advice? I want her to give me the inside scoop. Any private conversations with President Trump? What do they talk about? What is he worried about most? I know he thinks about the American people 24/7. I'm going to talk to her about the polling and most importantly about the mainstream media and Judge Amy Coney Barrett, because her confirmation is moving along and it's exciting news. And I think with everything that's happened over the last week, we've kind of forgotten that there is a reason to celebrate right now. And that's with Judge Amy Coney Barrett getting on the Supreme Court. Jenna, I'm so glad you're on the Sarah Carter Show. You came back for like, I think this is the fourth time. But this is the most important interview, I think, with you as of yet, because the election's just around the corner. Jenna, so much is happening. Huge developments up on the Senate with right now with Amy Coney Barrett. Thankfully, a unanimous vote to move her forward for her confirmation. Let's start with that. What do you think about that? How do you think Lindsey Graham handled it? And what do you foresee in the near future for her?
Yeah, well, this was great that we can say that it was a unanimous confirmation vote out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, because the Democrats refused to even show up. I mean, that is how pathetically childish they are to just say, you know what, we're going to boycott even showing up at our jobs then, because wah, we don't have the majority. And so this is the constitutional process and we're not even willing to participate. And so this is where the Democrats, what I continue to say is they are showing so clearly they don't want to be held accountable. They want the judicial branch to just be a rubber stamp on their activism. And their only objection to Amy Coney Barrett is that she actually wants to be a judge, not a partisan activist.
Well, and this is what
it
is.
That.
Well, yeah. I totally agree with you. And she's so phenomenal. She's very composed. She doesn't allow them to rattle her, which I think is extraordinary. I guess with having all the children she has, she's learned to stay calm, believe it or not. I think what was shocking is when Senator Hirono basically asked Amy Coney Barrett, I mean, whether she sexually assaulted anyone. I ask everyone this question, whether or not you've sexually assaulted anyone. I think that exposed how ridiculous the Democrats are and how low the Democrats are to even insinuate that, because they know, based on all of the information that they got when she sat down there for this hearing, that there was no evidence, no inkling, nothing whatsoever that she had ever sexually assaulted anyone.
It was so irrelevant and so shockingly inappropriate and just completely disrespectful to a mother who is faith-based of seven children to ask that. I mean, I was sitting there going, did Mazie Hirono just like not update her question since the Kavanaugh hearing? And she accidentally brought the wrong binder in there. I mean, it was so ludicrous to actually think that that was a reasonable question. I mean, if this were a process that actually had some governance of it, I mean, like I think about when I cross-examined witnesses in a trial court setting, the judge would have immediately said to anyone asking that question, in that particular context, absolutely irrelevant, inappropriate, and the attorney probably would have been sanctioned for it. I mean, that's so incredibly absurd. But this is where the Democrats go. It was a total theatrical circus. They have nothing to impugn her with. And so the only thing that they can do is create more and more chaos to try to distract from the fact that they are so concerned that their unconstitutional policy will actually get struck down by a court that is willing now, with a conservative majority, to hold the two political branches accountable.
Well, and to go, come from the Constitution, because let's talk about this seriously. The Democrats see the Supreme Court as a place to legislate law. They don't see it as a court, do they? I mean, this is really the Democrats' goal. Every time you see something go through the courts, you see them legislating through the courts, especially in Democrats. Well, the Ninth Circuit is always a place where I see that happening. But I think that's what they see in the Supreme Court as well. Am I wrong or am I right?
100%. And, you know, for the past 15, 60 years or more, and particularly since Griswold versus Connecticut in 1965, that case was such an activist court that tried to manipulate the Constitution to sell us the legal fiction that our rights come from the Constitution rather than come from God, our creator, and are pre-political, and the Constitution and our American system is designed to preserve and protect those rights. And so ever since that case, if you see the evolution and the progression of the line of case law after 1965, particularly in the social issues, every single case that has followed that line of precedent has had the same constitutional error. And so what the Democrats are so concerned with is that they won't have their activist policymaking, legal legislating from the bench court anymore, and they will actually be held accountable. They don't like our system of government. They don't like the separation of powers. And so when they don't get their way, they just want to change the rules, or they want to overhaul our entire American system. The 2020 election is all about preserving and protecting our American system of government and making sure that the Democrats understand government power in America is not for themselves. It is not for government. It is supposed to protect we the people and our God-given rights. The Democrats don't want that. They hate that premise, and they are fighting that tooth and nail every step of the way. That's why we have to re-elect President Trump. His lasting legacy is going to be putting originalist actual judges throughout the federal.
Originalist. Think about that. Originalist. This is why I love having Jenna Ellis on the show, because she can explain this. She's like a library of the Constitution right here. Somebody who truly understands it. And it's the reason why the president has you working for him, advising him on the constitutional issues. I mean, this is really, let's just get down and dirty. Jenna and I have not stopped working. Literally, it's day and night because of the election coming up. Everybody is just swamped. People feel exhausted. I know you do, but you're not stopping because this is so important. You tweeted out the other day a young man who went 12 hours back to Texas because he did not get his absentee ballot in the mail, and he was worried that he wouldn't be able to vote. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it's actually a friend of mine, Kenny Sailors. I saw it on his Facebook and I texted him and I was like, dude, can I post this on Twitter? This is amazing. He lives in Nashville and but he's a resident of Texas. And so, you know, so he's in Nashville, is still a resident of Texas because he's just out there for work. And he requested his absentee ballot twice. It never came to Tennessee. So he is so absolutely dedicated to making sure that as an American patriot, he casts his vote, that he was willing to drive 12 hours down to Texas and then 12 hours back to make sure that in his home state, he was able to cast a single vote to reelect President Trump. And Sarah, this is how enthusiastic and incredibly significant Americans who actually understand our way of life, love liberty, love freedom, we understand we have to work our butts off to make sure that we get President Trump reelected. And that's why, you know, you and I were talking to yesterday saying, you know, we almost feel like we're not doing enough, right? To make sure that we get this message out, how incredibly important it is to make sure we protect our American system. As Donald Trump always says, America will never be a socialist country. That is what we are protecting against. And that's why every American has to get out and vote like Kenny. So hashtag be Kenny, make it go viral, even though Twitter will probably suppress it. But that's the hashtag.
I love it. Well, because this is exactly right, Jenna. And for everyone listening out there, while you're listening to Jenna talk, this isn't just political hype. This isn't just trying to support President Trump for the sake of supporting President Trump. This is about America. This is about our future. This is about what our nation stands for. And the reason why we fight for this country, the reason why men and women, since the beginning of this nation, have literally, some have laid down their lives, because it's all about our individual freedoms, those individual freedoms that are granted, like Jenna says, by our creator, by this nation, by the way this nation was founded, and it's fundamentally changing. That's why I'm going to this question. You've seen the interview, I'm sure, part of it with Leslie Stahl that just came out. President Trump did the right thing. He made promises and he kept them. I'm going to let this interview out. I'm going to play the whole thing so that you all can see how I was treated before it gets cut and edited by 60 Minutes and gets put out. I'm running the whole thing. I think he did a phenomenal job with that, because you can actually see that Leslie Stahl, who's with 60 Minutes, who I've watched pretty much my whole life, but is so biased against the president that even when he says, Leslie, the worst crime committed to me in my administration literally was the Russia hoax, which we have mountains of evidence on, mountains collected by Congress, by the Senate, by the DOJ, by the Inspector General, showing malfeasance on the part of the FBI and intelligence community. And she basically said, well, there's no evidence of that. It was a consistent gaslighting of the president. And not only that, this is what the media has been doing to the American public. So if they're not getting the message, Jenna, from people like us or Fox News, you know, at night, like on Sean Hannity's show when we were breaking all the Russia hoax stories, or directly from you or from bloggers, I mean, where are the American people going to get the information if the mainstream media refuses to, one, cover it or even verify, like the Hunter Biden emails? They don't even want to bother verifying them right now.
Right, right. And, you know, this is such a pivotal moment in America that we have long thought, how insane is it that the Chinese Communist Party has such a propaganda network and such a control on their own citizens that they won't allow certain information and news to get out to their public? Why? Because it's to control and centralize their own power, and it's an elitist mentality, and it's communist, right? And so we as Americans have always valued freedom of speech, freedom of information, public discourse, disagreement peacefully. We can have this free exchange of ideas, this debate, this dialogue. But what we're seeing and what President Trump is so clearly showing is how the mainstream media and the Democrats are working together to try to suppress the truth, and they don't want to show the truth. And so they will take these interviews like 60 Minutes, they'll chop them and they'll manipulate it to put out a false light and a false narrative to get the American public to think something about the truth that's really a manipulated propaganda piece. And so President Trump has from day one just smashed through that barrier. And he uses social media really effectively to show that hypocrisy. And that's why big tech now, because they're also part of this whole propaganda scheme, they are clamping down on this. They're censoring actual publishers like the New York Post by saying, oh, we don't want to comment on this story. There was a tweet from NPR this morning, I couldn't believe it, saying that they didn't want to cover the Hunter Biden story because they're like, we're not going to, you know, cover this non-story. And I'm thinking, yet for 3 years, you had no problem covering this all fake Russia collusion narrative. This is something that we, the people, should not stand for. And the reason that President Trump is so effective, he is the tip of the spear for we, the American people, as one of our fellow citizens, telling our government no, telling big tech no, telling the mainstream media no. You cannot silence us. You cannot suppress the truth. We will speak. We will speak freely, and we will protect and preserve liberty and freedom for generations to come.
Well, this is why President Trump is so successful, right? And something that took like the big CEOs from Silicon Valley off guard, as well as the mainstream media. For example, when he came out and he just pushed the mainstream media aside and said, you know what? I remember this at the beginning. I don't need the Washington Post. I don't need the New York Times. I don't need these big players at CNN. Why don't you guys step aside? I'm going to talk directly to the American people. I'm going to tell them unfiltered, good or bad, how I feel every single day. And the platforms like Twitter, you know, Jack Dorsey, as well as Mark Zuckerberg, actually promised. They actually promised that those platforms would be there so that people could freely speak and share ideas. They sold us a good bills, right? They just sold it to us. We all believed it. We all jumped on board. And then all of a sudden, just like you said, we start to see the truth. That's what we saw with the interview with Leslie Stahl. That's what we're seeing now in the mainstream media. But for all of you out there who think this is just Republicans, it's not. This is about civil libertarians, too. And Glenn Greenwald is pretty awesome. He's with The Intercept. I don't always agree with him on a ton of things. But Glenn Greenwald is an investigative reporter who's done a lot of work, documentary work. Like I said, I don't agree with him on everything. But he is one of the few, I would say, mainstream or well-respected investigative journalists who are saying, wait a minute, you're telling me that all of these news agencies are refusing to even to try to validate the Hunter Biden hard drive, to talk to Biden, to look at the emails, to try to validate them through other means. It's insulting, and it really can destroy the American system because we really rely on these checks and balances. And when the mainstream media is sold out or on Hunter Biden's team, what do you do?
100%. And you said something really, really important, Sarah, that I want to reemphasize, which is that social media evolved and was designed to make sure that we as fellow citizens had an opportunity to have our opinions and thoughts on a platform that wasn't suppressed. And this is the whole idea and intention behind Section 230 as legislation. When big tech said, hey, listen, we don't want to be responsible for other people's opinions. All we're doing is providing a platform. Because prior to social media, like when I went through journalism school, my undergrad is in technical journalism. So when I went through school, you know, we had to actually find publishers that were willing to say, yes, we'll run your content. We only had certain column inches. I mean, I have, you know, my book from, you know, from the early 2000s of like clips, you know, literal physical clips from the newspapers, because when I actually published something, you know, they'd come back and say, this is too long. We only have column inches, right? That was how you actually could get your opinion expressed, was when a publisher was willing to take on your opinion editorials and say, yes, we will run this. And we will, as a publisher, be responsible for that content. But social media then said, hey, listen, we want to give everyone a platform. And if you have your followers and people want to listen to you, great. We're not responsible. We're simply a public utility. So Section 230 to provide immunity to social media made sense when they created it with that intention. But now what they're doing, you're totally right. It was a bait and switch. And now they're saying, we are only going to endorse and amplify and even be willing to allow exist on our platforms viewpoints that we agree with. That's discrimination, it's censorship, and that's acting like a publisher. And so the difference here, it's not just about censorship.
As a lawyer, how do we do this? Because I've spoken to Brendan Carr with the FCC. I know there are some members of the FTC that want to see the changes. The others don't. Apparently, the chairman of the FTC is backing away and doesn't want to do anything. What can we do in a court of law to actually hold them accountable? These are publicly traded companies, for crying out loud. I mean, we're supposed to have free speech.
Yes, we and the whole idea, you know, people say, well, these are private companies. They have their user terms and agreements. Yes, but when it's discriminatory enforcement, when it's viewpoint discrimination and saying me as a user that signed the exact same terms and conditions as the Democrat over there or the liberal operative or the mainstream media blue checkmark, when we sign the exact same terms and conditions and we have the expectation as a user to be treated exactly the same and fairly, that's when a social media tech giant is now treating the platform as a publisher. Because even though, I mean, so the New York Times, the Washington Post, the New York Post, all of those are private corporations as well, right? And we don't have the same argument to say, well, hey, free speech, so you have to run my column. No, why? because they're a publisher and they can deny your content by saying, hey, we are choosing not to run it. So this isn't about free.
Because they can be sued. Because basically they can be sued.
Because they are a publisher.
Right.
So this is not about free speech as much as it is about the difference between a publisher versus immunity under Section 230. So what needs to happen legally is that these big
But these are monopolies too. These are monopolies. And they're also publicly traded, right? Does right. that have an effect on the law right there? I mean, this is
so what needs to happen is that Congress absolutely has to act. They need to get off their butts. They need to do something about this. And they need to make sure that Section 230, whether or not it's repealed, does not apply. And that's where there has to be whether it's a class action or whether, you know, it's an individual plaintiff who will actually go into court and say, judge, look, they are acting like a publisher in this regard because their use and terms of service are not being applied. It's discriminatory enforcement and it has a chilling effect on speech because they are acting as a publisher, not a platform. And so big tech is going to have to choose. Do you want censorship like you can with a publisher or do you want Section 230 immunity? You should not be able to have both under the law.
Jenna, just 1 minute. I got to take care of some business here. If you have a cat like me and I have a really big cat, his name is Barry, you know that nothing smells worse than a wet litter box. Luckily, Arm & Hammer has a solution. New AbsorbX cat litter. It's made with desert dry minerals. It absorbs wetness in seconds, taking that wet odor out of the picture and the smell too. So go to armandhammer.com/bounty and get $4 off your box of quick absorbing AbsorbX and have a nice dry day. New AbsorbX from Arm & Hammer. More power to you. So let's jump quickly to the debate. Little time left. What does President Trump need to do, Jenna, to address the American people, to get the truth out to them when the mainstream media, for the most part, doesn't want to?
He is going to have to hold Joe Biden accountable and force the answer or the non-answer to the questions that the American people deserve. Because we, the people, understand very clearly who President Trump is, what his accomplishments are, and why he absolutely deserves another 4 years. He has been thoroughly transparent. He sat down with, you know, every reporter who's wanted a question. He answers questions all the time. What the debate is about tonight is about saying, Joe Biden, why are you refusing to be held accountable to the American people and the voters? Why do you think that you deserve their vote when you won't answer questions about court packing? You won't answer questions about who you would nominate to the Supreme Court. You won't answer policy questions. And most importantly, he will not answer the question of whether or not, and we know the answer to this though, that he has been compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. He has to answer questions. This isn't about Hunter Biden. We can all, you know, think whatever we want to think about Hunter Biden, but the practical important question for the election is Joe Biden and his involvement, his knowledge, his compromising. I mean, you want to talk about impeachment that we all lived through for, you know, the 4 months that this was the 24/7 news cycle.
By the way, while the FBI was aware,
this is an instance where the Democrats are always projecting onto President Trump what they're doing themselves. This is when you look at the impeachment clause, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. This conduct by Joe Biden fits perfectly within the original intent of why that clause was designed, because when he is putting his own personal financial interests above the security and the intelligence security, the national security of the United States of America, that is treason. He's accepted clearly bribes within the context and definition. And so this is something that he has to be held accountable. President Trump is going to have to ask those questions.
Well, look, I've covered national security. A lot of people don't remember. They think of me as like being here now, right? The Russia hoax, Sean Hannity, Fox News, breaking those stories. Before this, I mean, my main job as a journalist was to cover national security on the front lines in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Pakistan. Most of my work was dealing with terrorism and all of these very issues that you're talking about, Jenna, being compromised, right? people that become compromised by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. And Joe Biden's one of them, folks. I need you to listen to this because it's not just about Hunter Biden. It appears, based on the evidence, based on all of these emails that came from this hard drive that have not, by the way, been denied by the family, that Joe Biden himself was getting a cut of money from the Chinese. I have spoken to people who, and I have some of these emails now myself, and I'm reading through them, that they were very direct in saying that Joe Biden was aware of what his son was doing and the business dealings with Burisma, Ukraine, Kazakhstan. That means, I need you to think about this. Imagine if it was your son. Imagine if you had a lot of power. And imagine if these other nation states, right? Some of them enemy states, collected information on a family member that was not behaving and did not know how to control themselves for the most part. Hunter Biden has serious issues. But not only that, imagine if you were taking bribes off the top. I got to tell you this, my husband, everybody I know that works in the United States government that has a security clearance, any kind of security clearance, if any of their family members were taking money from the Chinese, from any other government without declaring it, without making it known, hiding it, hiding the money, which means I want to find out what banks out there allowed these transactions to happen without reporting them. And if they did, what happened to those reports? But allowed that to happen, they would be fired. Some of them would be prosecuted. That's what normally happens in Washington, D.C.
Normal. That's normal. The key, though, that none of this is normal. And when you see how the just all of the players involved between the Democrats, between the mainstream media, between even the debate commission are all trying to suppress this information and push their preferred candidate over the line. This is all about globalism. This is all about making the United States no longer a sovereign nation under the Constitution, but conceding to this whole idea that we are part of a global citizenship and we have to care about these extreme leftist ideas more than we care about our freedom and liberty in this country. And yes, President Trump is correct. If Joe Biden wins this election, America, as we know it, will cease to exist because China will have won. And we will then be beholden to the Chinese because Joe Biden is beholden to China. And I mean, if the Democrats get control of the White House, the Senate, and the House, they absolutely will court pack. They will get their leftist partisan
so dangerous
agenda through it. And we, the people, will no longer have a government that represents us.
Jenna, I couldn't agree with you more. Before we get off, what would be the advice that you would give first to President Trump if you could sit with him before the debate tonight? What would be your advice to him? And what is your advice to the American people who are struggling? Maybe some of those independents who are struggling because they haven't had enough time to actually know what really happened with Biden. They're hearing these stories. I mean, if there was a way that you could deliver a message to them to let them truly understand why this election is so historic, why it is so important, why it goes far beyond President Trump, what would you say?
Yeah, well, the American people need to be responsible for our own information gathering, and we need to not rely on what our news feed tells us. We need to go out and seek alternative media like the Sarah Carter podcast here, like Yay. These other outlets that will shine the light of truth, is willing to talk about these subjects, is willing to talk about them honestly and frankly. And with that information, we need to make sure we get out and vote, because our vote matters. That is the only way that we, the people, get to participate in the process of who among ourselves, we, the people, of the people, by the people, for the people. We, the people, get to select and prefer who we put in office and give the powers of government in America to. I mean, that is such an incredible privilege, but it's a responsibility and it's a duty. So for the people out there, especially, you know, the evangelical Christians, some of these people who are just saying, I can't, you know, vote for a personality type that I don't like his Twitter feed. You guys are missing the point here. The point is that we have an obligation and a duty to make sure that with our vote, we are casting it for the best possible choice to preserve and protect liberty for the policy decisions. It's not an endorsement of everything. I mean, there are candidates that I vote for that they've gone and then voted for other things in the legislature that I don't prefer, but that's part of our system. That's why we have a representative trustee government. You have to vote. And the only option here is to vote for President Trump, who is committed to working on behalf of we the people and preserving our system of government. And we also have to vote all the way down ticket. Sarah, if there's one thing we've learned in 2020, it's how much state and local elections also matter, how much the Senate is incredibly important, majorities matter. Get out and vote. Be like Kenny.
Or be like the Democrats, right? The Democrats just seem to have this locked in. They'll just vote straight ticket. And I understand there's a lot of you out there that are saying, well, but I don't like this guy, but I like that guy. And everything gets split up.
We're not voting for Miss America. We're voting for our government leaders. And so it matters what the policy is. It matters their viewpoint on the Constitution. We have to get out and vote. And we also have to not be snookered by the mainstream media that is trying to tell us that the Democrats are so far ahead. All of these news stories, all of the censorship, all of the polls are designed for suppression. And I was actually talking with President Trump earlier this week, and he was saying that exact same thing. The polls are all about suppression. And if you look at that,
I'm hearing stories about internal polling, and I'm glad you brought that up, and that the president, you know, he talks about that publicly too, but I'm hearing about internal polling that shows him far ahead.
Yeah, we can look to 2016 and, you know, mirror that and whatever, but the truth of the matter is that all of these polls have, you know, since the creation of polling, you can tailor them and you can manipulate them based on how many Republicans versus Democrats you're polling, likely voters versus registered voters versus just adults. I mean, there are so many different cross-tabulation things that you can control and manipulate the outcome. And that's what a lot of these polls are designed to do. And they're trying to discourage the American people to say that, oh, President Trump is totally
losing. They've tried it before.
They tried it in 2016. So ignore the fake news media, get out and vote. And for President Trump tonight, he is going to absolutely kill it, because he is going to get on that stage and he's going to be the only one who's bringing truth and bringing accountability to Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is going to have to face the music tonight. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, thank you, Jenna. Thank you so much for being on the show. You know, I want you back all the time. I'm telling you, we got to be a regular. We got to do a show together.
I'd love that. Yeah.
Me too. I know you need your sleep. You need your rest, but you look great. I mean, you're like out there pounding the pavement every day and fighting for America. So thanks for taking the time to be on the show.
We can sleep after November 3rd. And once we get President Trump reelected, you know, then we can go to the beach and, you know, get some mimosas and hang out.
Yeah. And by that time, the Democrats will stop trying to maybe control the media so much or the narrative. Let's only hope. Thank you, Jenna.
Thanks, Sarah.
For all of you out there who just listened to Jenna talk about the Constitution, talk about the importance of this election, you got to take this so seriously. This is the most important moment in America's modern political history. You're living in it right now. What we've seen happen, what's been evolving over the last few years, particularly in the news, what we've seen with the Russia hoax. Those of you who have followed the story from the beginning have been relentless. You're a part of this story. You're the American people. It's all about you. Remember this, and I know I've said this before, but I haven't said it in a while. When they go after Donald Trump, that being the Democrats, the Never Trumpers, the establishment, the globalists, all these people that don't believe this country is exceptional. Believe me, they don't. They worry more about themselves. They're the exceptional ones. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care what they have to do to retain their power. That's why they went after President Trump. And that's why they continue to go after the president of the United States. Have you ever seen such a thing ever in the history of this country? The way this president has been targeted in his administration, we have never seen this before. Don't let them gaslight you. You're the reason why they went after President Trump. You are the most important character in this entire story, in this saga. when people look back, historians look back on this period of time, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, it will be the American people that will be the most important part of the story. And you want to know why? Because it was you that got up and went out and voted, that put down President Trump on that ballot and said, you know what? I'm not taking this anymore. I am sick and tired of Washington, D.C. I am sick and tired of the establishment. I'm sick and tired of the way they treat me. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about the economy. I want jobs to come back to America. I want the government to actually do its job and work for me. I don't want to be working for them. That's the point. That's what we have to do together. And that's why we together, we the people, get it? We the people are the most powerful. So don't give up your rights. Don't give up your power to these weasels in Washington, to this swamp creatures that roam around these DC streets. Don't give up your power to them. Thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. We are coming to you from lovely Radio America. This is Sarah Carter. And don't forget to read all my stories at sarahacarter.com. Go to Twitter at SarahCarterDC. If we're not shadow banned or suspended or whatever, remember you can see some of these segments and sometimes all of these segments on YouTube at Sarah Carter. You can watch us live on YouTube and go to Parler as well. Join Parler. It's awesome. It's an awesome alternative to Twitter. Trying to get Parler to grow and be significant. Let's go. Sarah Carter Official. That's where you can follow me on Parler. Subscribe and give us a 5-star rating on your podcast. That's wherever you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, anything else. Leave your review. Give us a 5-star rating. Remember, we read them. I read them. Thank you so much for being a part of my life. Thank you so much for everything you do every single day. We are taking the story back.
It's Mock and Daisy from Chicks on the Right. We're excited to tell you about our podcast, the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast. From discussing topics like cancel culture, what's happening to our new generations, crises in our nation, and even some high-profile interviews, each week we touch on subjects that matter to us and matter to you.
And we're not afraid to tell you how it is, so tune in every week to hear us talk about the things or even just get a good laugh.
To find out more, go to our website, chicksontheright.com, or start listening on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
Don't forget to leave a comment, a review, and subscribe.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of The Todd Herman Show. You might have heard me on Rush Limbaugh's show or as a regular fill-in for about 8 years. I now do a show out of the high mountains of free America because, you know, I got exiled from Seattle. Why the need to remake country music and into what? From there, I looked at art. Art under the guise of totalitarian regimes is so interesting because it seems that Beyonce is doing exactly what totalitarian regimes want done with art. Check out The Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.